I know it's here somewhere.
Finally.
Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yes, of course, we hope you enjoy the show, because if you didn't enjoy the show, you wouldn't be coming back, and that would be bad. No, we want you to enjoy the show a lot. That's why we have very strange, geeky things for you, as we usually do. And this week, we have some strange, geeky things that I think you'll really like. We have some geek culture, we've got a little bit of tech news, and we've got just a smattering of shameless commercial promotion. So, hey, everything you need in a podcast, of course. Anyway, this week we're officially celebrating the Game Master's acquisition of a Nintendo Wii. And so in order to celebrate that, we have some appropriate geek culture for that. I'm sure the Game Master will be excited and bouncing and freaking out on his own podcast, which I want to encourage you to listen to. That is, of course, the Game Master's Bin Spin, where you can get the spin from Ben's brain throughout the multiverse. So I encourage you to listen to that this week. Like I said, he'll be bouncing, lots of bouncing up and down and around and off walls and things of that nature, because he seems to enjoy his Wii. Yes. Now, along that line, let's do a little geek culture for Mark Saltzer. I don't know who Mark Saltzer is. He's just this guy, you know? Anyway, he has a song called Nintendo 2, which is another way of saying the Nintendo Wii, I suppose. I don't know why he calls it Nintendo 2, actually. But he's talking about his Wii, and so I want you to listen closely to the geek culture for this week.
Since I bought me new Nintendo, haven't seen me wife in several weeks. I think she's really mad. Have you seen my new Nintendo? I've got four controllers but no friends. I'm really looking sad. If it wasn't for this games machine, I know deep down by now I'd be a dad. Have you seen my dog Nintendo? Haven't fed the thing for several days, I think he moved next door. We used to play Nintendo. I think he got because I got a higher score. I know he will return because the neighbours only have a Commodore. 64, there was something on TV last night. To my delight, Nintendo. There was something there for you and me, Mario, Yoshi, Nintendo. And I never thought that I could lose all of me friends. If I had to do the same again, I'd buy all my friends Nintendo. If I had to do the same again, I'd buy all my friends Nintendo. I I can't mention my Nintendo, 'cause when I do, me friends will think I'm acting rather strange. Why'd you call it Wii Nintendo? 'Cause when I say I'm playing with my Wii, they think that I'm deranged. They think I'm a urologist. So please Nintendo, change that bleeding name. There was something on TV last night, to my delight, Nintendo. There was something there for you and me. Come and play with my Wii, Nintendo. And I never thought that I could lose all of my friends. If I had to do the same again, by all my friends, Nintendo. If I had to do the same again, I'd change the bloody name, Nintendo. 'Cause there was something there for you and me. Why'd you call it Wii Nintendo?
I gotta go along with that. They should have left it with the original name they came up with, which was the Revolution. You know, the Wii. Give me a break. Anyway, I can understand that being an issue. So, you know, let's call it something else. It's a cute little gray box, I gotta admit that. It looks about the size of a small book. Maybe a thick book, but a book. But anyway, it's cool. And I played the new Brawl game on it and played Donkey Kong and smashed things. And I got smashed a few times myself. Actually got totally destroyed only once, so that's not too bad, you know, as these things go. Anyway, we've got some good things for you on the podcast this week. First of all, of course, I want to remind you we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network.
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
TechPodcasts.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
And, of course, proud members of the Blueberry Network.
Blueberry.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Yes, indeed. Blueberry.com, BLUBRRY.com. And, of course, there are lots of podcasts there that are very different from the Tech Podcast Network because they cover the entire range of very strange things that people are into. So I'd encourage you to check out Blueberry if you're looking for a podcast on, I don't know, the price of tea in China. You can probably find it right there on Blueberry. Anyway, we also want to promote some of our fellow tech podcast dudes and dudettes. And so we have one from the Caffeination podcast. Now, Paul Muller on the Caffeination podcast is not only into tech, because, you know, he's Tech Podcast Network, he's also into coffee. He is a connoisseur of coffee, and so he combines his coffee with his tech and sits there very nervously drinking his cup of coffee while he works on his computers. Yes.
Hi, my name's Paul, and I'm the host of the Caffeination Podcast, a podcast that doesn't just deal with caffeine and technology as topics. They're more of a lifestyle around here. If you're like me and you can't get out of bed in the morning without that little cup of coffee, if you're like me and you need to know all the best and the greatest in technology news from around the world and right next to you, then you need to tune into the Caffeination Podcast, www.caffeination.com. Thanks, and stay caffeinated.
Stay caffeinated, people, with Paul Muller of the Caffeination Podcast. Caffeination.com. Check it out. All right, let me remind you of our website, drbill.cc. .cc, of course, being for computer curmudgeon. All together, it's Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, which is, of course, the name of our blog and website available at that URL. So check it out. And if you look over on the right-hand side at the very top of the sidebar, you'll find not only are we proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, says so right there. Right beside that, it has a little advertisement that you can click on, and I'd encourage you to click on it, to check out Go to My PC. That allows you to, you guessed it, go to your PC, wherever it might be, on the interwebs throughout the the entire universe. You can click on it, and it will take you to your PC. Now, the cool part of that is that if you happen to have, left a file there, I need to reference something, and you're going, oh man, I've only got that installed on this PC. Well, bring it up with Go to My PC, anywhere you are on the web, and securely you can get into it and check that out, run that program, get the result, whatever, look up an address, I don't know, whatever it is you may want to do, check it out. And the cool thing is, you can get a 30-day free trial by just clicking on that little icon widget there on the blog, and it will take you to a page where you can sign up for a 30-day free trial, one full month of going to your PC from wherever you are. Once you do that, I'm sure you will find it is indispensable, and you must have it. There you go. Also, if you look right below that, there's a little red line that says Shameless Commerce Center. If you click there, it will take you to our Shameless Commerce Center. Amazing coincidence, isn't it? Anyway, it will take you there. You can click on a banner and save 10% on GoDaddy. You can click on Buy.com. You can click on the Apple Store. You can click on the Skype offer. Or you can get the Wall Street Journal for your very own to peruse at your heart's content. So I'd encourage you to do that. It will be very, very good for you to do that. Now let's talk about the tech news of the week. First of all, we started off on Monday, March the 17th, with Happy St. Paddy's Day. Couldn't ignore that, being of Irish extraction myself. I mean, Bailey, you know, give me a break. Anyway, I was pointing out the fact that Google had a very St. Paddy-fied logo that day. You know, they like to change their logo for whatever it is that's going on in the universe. And so Google, they had a green logo with little shamrocks, and their little L and E at the end of Google was actually also shamrocks. And I have a picture of it right there on the blog in case you missed it. Pretty cool. I kind of enjoyed that. So I clipped it and put it in the blog. Because if you miss it, you know, it's gone. Because the next day, they're back to just plain old Google. So it's good that people like me catch it, capture it, and save it for posterity. There you go. All right, last week on the podcast, I mentioned something that I can now rectify, and that is I said that if you wanted to update all your Microsoft software, you could do a Windows update, but then you had to go and you had to click around and find all the various places that you need to update Office, and you need to update this and that and the other. Well, turns out there is a URL that you can go to at Microsoft that isn't just the Windows update. It's the all Microsoft software update, which is kind of cool. So I've got a link to that in the blog. You can go to Microsoft Update. Actually, it's just plain old update.microsoft.com. And it will expand out to a slightly longer URL because they just want to be confusing. But if you go to update.microsoft.com, it will update all your Microsoft software, which is pretty cool if you ask me. And given that Microsoft software is really, really security challenged, then it's good to keep it up to date. By the way, while I'm talking about that, I mentioned as a Geek Software of the Week many weeks back, Sukunia, what's the name of it? I know Sukunia because that's a very strange name, and that I'll open it up here. Oh, Personal Software Inspector, PSI, Personal Software Inspector. I was playing with that this weekend and looking at all the things that it said was out of date on my laptop, and I was able to go through and update everything on my laptop, every single piece of software, with one tiny little exception that I couldn't get the latest version for because of various silly things that Cisco wanted me to register and wanted me to register at a certain level. And I'll deal with that later. I have a login that I can use at work that I can get in, but I don't have it with me this weekend. At any rate, the point is it allowed me to update all my software and make sure it was totally, totally up to date. And that's really cool. So again, I gotta say that's a very, very useful tool for a Geek Software of the Week. But speaking of Geek Software of the Week, yes, indeed, it's time for this week's Geek Software of the Week. This one's going to be so geeky, so mind-bogglingly techno-strange that you'll say, Huh? Indeed, it is so geeky you probably won't have a use for it. But if you do, you'll really like it. But if not, then you'll go, what in the world we need that for? Well, here it is. The Geek Software of the Week is V-Subst. You try pronouncing V-S-U-B-S-T. V-Subst. Anyway, you can call it Visual Subst if you want to. Now, what's a subst? It is substitution, except that the command that was used in the old DOS days is S-U-B-S-T, subst, and so we must pronounce it that way to be true to Microsoft. Yeah. Anyway, the whole idea is this. Let's say you have a directory. Now, let's say in that directory you have, downloads, okay? And you have downloaded a whole bunch of software in that directory, and you think to yourself, you know, I'm tired of referencing it as C:\downloads. I want to reference it as just a drive letter. I want to be able to say T and have it go to the downloads, okay? You're saying, why would I care? Well, just work with me here, people, okay? Anyway, the point is, let's say you wanted to substitute a drive letter for a directory name. Well, that's what the subst command is for. In the DOS days, like I said, and of course it also works in Windows, you can go to your command prompt and you can type in subst T:\ for the actual directory name, which might be C:\downloads, and voila, T would now be referenceable, if that's a word, as the C downloads directory. So you could say /dir T:\, and it would give you a directory of C:\downloads. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah, you're going, I don't get it. Well, here's why it's important to super geeks. You see, like myself, and here's where it came in handy for me this past week particularly. As a Citrix system administrator, we do something rather strange on our Citrix servers, and there's a reason for doing it, but it's a little odd, and that is we take our boot drive, which is normally C. Every computer in the universe, it would be C, right? But what we do is we rename it to R, okay? Which means down at the operating system level, the C drive is really the R drive. It's not even the C drive anymore. It is the R drive for real, okay? That means then that the D drive becomes the S drive. So we have an R drive, which has all the actual root system files, and then we have the S drive that has all the applications on it, okay? Now, the problem with that is, you see, we do that for a reason. I said there was a reason, didn't I? We do that for a reason, and that is that when you log on to the Citrix server, we don't want the user saving anything to C, quote unquote, which is really going to be the system drive of the Citrix server. I did it again. I always transpose Cisco and Citrix. Anyway. The point is, you'd think I'd get it after all this time. The point is that if you save stuff to the root of C, and it was the system drive of the Citrix server, then, it's a lot of sounds, then you would be polluting the system drive with all of your nasty user files, which we don't like as system administrators. And so, we transpose them, literally, when we build a server, to R and S, and that way, the C drive is actually mapped from your local system. You see, your C drive gets mapped as C on the Citrix server, and therefore, when you save something to C, guess what? You actually saved it to your C drive! We're so tricky, Citrix system administrators. Anyway, the point is that some software is really, really stupid. People who write software sometimes, they just assume things. And some people that write software assume, you know what? Every system in the universe has C as its boot drive. So I'm going to save my program to C no matter what. And so they hard code it in there. Now, of course, if you do that, then it won't install on a Citrix server that has its boot drive set up as R. Ah, so we have to set up R to be C. That's where the subst command comes in and allows us to do that, and then the software will install, and we can tell the software developer that was stupid enough to develop that way, because we overcame their stupidity. Yes. But this Geek Software of the Week is a visually based program, a Windows interface, that allows you to very easily set up the substitution command. And it will also carry over even into the next reboot of your system. In other words, it will permanently mount that drive as the substituted drive letter. Pretty cool, huh? So if you have a use for that, more power to you. And if you really do have a use for that, you're going, dude, Dr. Bill, that is just awesome. If you don't, you're going, huh? Never mind. Okay, next item. Arthur C. Clarke passed away this week. Now, you might say, well, okay, that's interesting. But you see, it has a great meaning for me because as a young person, I cut my teeth on hard science fiction. Now, hard science fiction is basically not, you know, stuff like Freddy Goes to Mars, about a pig going to Mars. No, no, that's not hard science fiction. As a matter of fact, that's children's science fiction, which I did actually read and enjoy as a very small child. I've always been into science fiction, so even when I was a little tiny guy, I was reading Freddy Goes to Mars and Spaceship Under the Apple Tree. And by the way, if you haven't read Spaceship Under the Apple Tree, I don't care how old you are, you need to read that because it's cool. So there. Anyway, point is, that would not be considered hard science fiction. Hard science fiction would be science fiction that is written from a perspective of incorporating real science into it to the point that you're not entirely sure what's science and what's fiction. Yes. Arthur C. Clarke was a master of that. Isaac Asimov, Larry Niven. Some of the greats of science fiction that I really, really enjoy have lots of books. Matter of fact, I have all of Larry Niven's books. He's one of my very, very favorites. And he's out there still kicking, by the way. Isaac Asimov has gone on, and now so has Arthur C. Clarke. But Larry Niven is still hanging in there. Hang in there, Larry! All right, anyway. Arthur C. Clarke, master of hard science fiction, even basically a scientist in and of himself. He studied physics, and he came up with the idea of geosynchronous satellites. Now, you think about this. He proposed it in a paper. What if you put a satellite in orbit that matched the orbit of the Earth so that in relation to the Earth, it appeared to be static in the sky, not moving, because it was exactly matching the orbit of the Earth, and therefore you could aim something at that satellite, and whatever the satellite basically sent to us and we sent to it, you see, you'd have a reference point that would essentially be geostationary, stationary with regard to the position of the Earth, and people read that and went, whoa, that's pretty cool. And so they started sending satellites into orbit and precisely matching the orbit of the Earth. And now we have communication satellites and television broadcast via satellite and all the various communications. And we owe it all to Arthur C. Clarke. Pretty cool. So don't think that he's just responsible for HAL. Open the pod bay doors, HAL. I can't do that, Dave. No, no, no. It's not just HAL that he's responsible for. He's also responsible for the satellites by which we get all of our communications, and that's pretty cool. So, salute to Arthur C. Clarke. Also, I didn't know this. Arthur C. Clarke was a mentor to Gene Roddenberry. Gene Roddenberry, basically, he was a policeman. Gene Roddenberry was a policeman, and he wrote a lot of police dramas, and he had the idea for doing Star Trek. And he ran the idea by Arthur C. Clarke, and Arthur C. Clarke sent him a letter back that says, this is great, you need to go with this, you really need to work on this, and so forth, and really encouraged him. And because of that, we now have Star Trek in all of its iterations, 40 years plus of Star Trek. Dude! So, hats off to Arthur C. Clarke. By the way, he was also knighted by the Queen, so he was Sir Arthur C. Clarke, and I really appreciate all that he did for us. So, anyway, He passed away on the 19th of this week, and he was, I think they said 90 years old. 90 years old. Wow. Anyway, last news item. Mozilla proclaims that Firefox 3 is ready. Now, let me say, it has not been officially released yet. However, the last release candidate, Mozilla says, is good to go. So in very, very short order, we should have the final release of the new Mozilla Firefox version 3. And this is according to Mozilla Corporate Vice President of Engineering, Mike Schofrefer. Yes. S-C-H-R-O-E-P-F-E-R. Schofrefer. Anyway, he's the guy that said that it was ready to go. So I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to it. I really like Firefox. It is a very secure browser, and I hear that version 3 is going to be even better and even more secure. Wow. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do that, but apparently they are. So anyway, that's your tech news of the week. That's your geek culture, your geek software of the week, all kinds of good things that we have for you. And we've, you know, last week, by the way, I said there was going to be a DrBill.TV video netcast, and time just got away from me, and I was not able to do the DrBill TV netcast. But some way, somehow, by hook or crook, I'm going to get it done maybe today. Maybe. And so stay tuned for that. You're going to enjoy it. I've already told you what it's going to be about. I am not going to tell you again. You'll have to go listen to last week's podcast to find out what I said it was going to be about. Or you can just wait until it's released. That works too. Anyway, so I think you will greatly enjoy it. And in the meantime, I think that music is, yes, there it is. The music that tells me that Dr. Bill is out of here!